to another edition of Leading and Growing Your Real Estate Business. This is Coach James Short, aka Shorty, your host of the show. And we have a special guest for you today. Oh my goodness, drum roll. He is the king of compliance. He is the godfather of real estate training. He is Mr. Real Estate himself, Tony Rowe. Now, Tony semi-retired in 2022, just down the road actually, to a small acreage on the far north coast of New South Wales. Tony has an extensive background in real estate training and education since 2002. He doesn't look bad for 22 years of age either, does he? I believe once described as Mr. Wikipedia of real estate, this is very true. It's fair to say he knows his way around industry training requirements. He's well known for telling it how it is. Yep, very true, very true. TT Rowe & Co. was set up after Tony sold his training company, and it provides consultancy services to specialist advice on compliance with licensing requirements in the various states and territories, with, at the moment, a particular emphasis on New South Wales. With a firm belief that compliance is a sign of good business practice, Tony can provide simple, honest, efficient, and effective strategies to ensure real estate agency staff get the required training applicable to the requirements of the industry regulators in each state and territory. Now, there's a special gift that Tony's going to share with you at the end of today's show, so make sure you listen to all this episode to receive his lovely, lovely gift. So, Mr. Rowe, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you, James.
Now, here's a disclaimer. We've known each other I was working out this morning, right? Almost, I reckon, close to 20 years.
You're very close to it.
Poor you.
Yeah, who's on the receipt? Who's on the wrong end of that one?
Right. Now, you've had a journey. Like, you've had your RTOs, you've had the training, and now this exciting new venture, TT Rowe & Co. Tell us a little bit more around that and why you've set it up.
Okay. TT Rowe & Co. is a vehicle for me to continue not being retired and just to provide an opportunity, I guess, for people to tap into. I think I got talked into it. To not retire fully and to try and maintain some connection with the industry. And I didn't want to continue doing training as such, certainly around the RTO side of things. And when I sold the business, it was, okay, I've done that now. I did 20 years of high school teaching. I did 20 years of RTO training and that sort of thing. And it was time for me to go, okay, well, what else can I do that's not that? And still maintain the connections and be around. And so that's where TT Rowe & Co. came from. You'll see the logo behind me. It's not quite it's not everything in a circle. The circle has a couple of gaps that need to be filled, and that's the logic behind that. That there's always something that can be added to fill in the gaps, and that's what that's about. So basically, I go into an agency and say, okay, let's have a look at in New South Wales. Supervision guidelines, let's have a look at your CPD compliance requirements, what the records are you've got. Is there any strategies we can put in place that allow the agent to be compliant without spending an inordinate amount of time filling out checklists and registers and documents and that sort of stuff to make it as simple as possible for them to do what they have to do from a compliance point of view, but then give them time to get back out and do what they do best, which is mostly listing and selling real estate.
Yeah, so true.
With due sympathy and oversight also of the property management side of things, but mostly the focus for principals seems to be around the sales side.
And that's so true, right? Because it's not a strong point. You know, a lot of people within the industry, either sales or PM is usually a bit more detailed focus and detailed orientated, but a lot of those in sales, particularly if it's a selling principle, they love just going out and, you know, putting deals together and so forth. But when it comes to compliance and making sure that I's are dotted and T's are crossed, they need a little bit of help. They need a little bit of tap on the shoulder. And that's where, you know, you've seen many different agencies, you've worked with many different principals and directors out there. What are you noticing through your lens that's happening out there in the market at the moment?
I think probably the people trying to work out how they deal with and adapt to the changing market condition. Now, any agent that's been around for a little while knows that that happens, and the cycle might not be consistent. It's not every 5 years. It's not every 7 years. It happens when it happens, and there's a whole lot of things that go into that. So that changing cycle. The principals, the licensees in charge, they're doing their darndest at the moment to try and make up ground lost during COVID, probably, to adapt to the changing market conditions that are around at the moment, the market sentiment and changing government policies, Reserve Bank changes to interest rates and the flow-on effects of that, and agents trying to somehow or other be the font of knowledge for their buyers or their vendors or, you know, landlords and tenants, the whole shebang. They've got to try and be across all of that somehow and still be in the business and making money.
Yeah, so true, right? So true. And it's like, it's almost like, you know, keeping everything spinning, the plate spinning, and also, oh no, come back here, come back
several,
here.
Several plates spinning while they're juggling.
While they're juggling.
It's Cirque du Soleil on, yeah.
So true. So with the compliance things, like, where do you see it's so important to get this right because there's so many consequences if you don't get it right. Where do you see it heading over the next 12 months? Is there change coming through? Is there updates? I mean, there's constant updates coming through all the time, but where are there big things happening over the next 12 months, do you see?
the capacity to predict what's going to happen in the future is a path that's way above my pay grade, James.
There's a crystal ball in the backyard there.
Yeah, the only crystal ball I've got is this one up here. And look, there's so much variety around that and the things that can and could and might happen. There's a whole lot of lobbying that goes on at different levels of government, you know, changes to DAs and planning environment and all of that sort of stuff, government departments changing, ministers changing nearly as often, it seems, as, you know, well, won't say
I was going to say, were you going to go there?
Yeah, no, I won't. But they change regularly, let's just say that. And each time somebody comes in as the minister, they've got their priorities. They want to stamp their mark on things. You've got, you know, some of the parties that are, you know, pushing for rental reforms and how that's going to look and who that helps and who that doesn't help. All of those sorts of things that impact on the sentiment. I've used that word a couple of times already on the market sentiment and how that can then impact when there's economic conditions that change along the way as well. So the capacity to predict what's going to happen. No, thank you. Thanks for the offer, but I'll pass that.
Next
pass
question.
That one.
Now you've been out.
I guess a simple thing for agents to do if they're not already is to get on Fair Trading's mailing list for the property news thing. If something does happen, they'll let you know. There's other ways of finding that information out. Whether if you're in a franchise group, the head office will let you know. If you're a member of the institutes, that they'll let you know what they're doing. It doesn't what people say is going to happen doesn't always happen. So it's best to wait until it, not wait until it does happen, but be aware of what those predicted or, you know, forecast changes might be, and somehow keep your finger on the pulse for when it does happen, and be ready to adapt to when it does happen.
I think, like, just taking on that, like, because you see a lot of the times, particularly in press releases, we're working on this, and so, but they don't necessarily, when they say and when they do it, can be like months, years apart from, you know, it's such a slow moving ship of all the red tape that they've got to get through to pass any policies or.
But people have still got to, agents have still got to know that's out there. The possibility of that happening, because they've got to then deal with the objections or the concerns of the buyer. You know, am I buying at the right time? Am I selling at the right time? Should I wait till spring? Should I, you know, some people are saying I should sell in December. It's a good time to sell. And other people go, no, everybody goes on holidays in December. So when's a good time to sell? When you're ready to sell. When's a good time to buy? When you need to. So it's all of that sort of stuff, but being able to know what, and it's hard work for agents. It's hard enough for somebody like me, who's a bit of a political nerd as well, to keep up with, you know, every announcement that gets made, and then, is that really going to happen, and how can we get involved and know when that's going to happen? Best thing is to keep your finger on the pulse by whatever means.
Yeah, very true, very true. And you've been, like, the fortunate thing about what you've done over the last 20 years, you've seen a lot of amazing principles at work, and you've probably seen some not so amazing principles at work. What have you seen as those amazing principles and directors? What have they been doing well in relations to, you know, growing their business, obviously with the compliance side, but what do you notice those operators, what do they do well?
I think probably the most important thing is that they focus on. They're focused on the business, right, and managing the business and making sure that the teams that they've got working for them, admin teams, property management teams, sales teams, that they're. It's a well-oiled machine, and the cogs on the wheels go round and round. If the principal is a listing and selling principal as well, they're competing with their team. And the really good ones don't do that unless they've been doing it really well for a long time, and they know how to keep an eye on everything and allow it to operate. But If you're a flat out competing principal and trying to run the business and contribute to the business like that, you sort of something's got to suffer along the way. And it's either compliance that suffers, or it's sometimes the sales strategies that get lost along the way. I'm not saying people shouldn't be a selling principal. That would be just say that they're out there, and there's lots of them, and lots of them do it very well. But the capacity to step away from the business and work on the business rather than in it. Is certainly that's where fair trading were going with the supervision guidelines when they introduced them. It's the licensee in charge. You're in charge of the business. You're responsible for everything that goes on. You need to make sure you've got your eye on the ball and not come up with excuses that, you know, that somebody else has been doing that. They're only interested in the licensee in charge.
So true. So true. And I said that all the time. You know, it's like they love a lot of principles, love the thrill of the chase, and obviously it's great for cash flow of getting out there and listing and selling and so forth, but it's sometimes they can take their eye off the ball. And you know, when I say how many rabbits do you catch when you're trying to catch two rabbits, usually come up with none. So it's like it's almost having those different hats and those different roles, like, right, okay, this time and this energy, and then this time and this energy. It's and they're two different arts at the same time.
And one of the things that I've been doing with, you know, over the last 18 months that I've been doing the consulting is to be able to go in and say to people, this needs to be done. You can't walk away from it and say, the girls or somebody else is going to be looking after that. Fair Trade is only interested in the licensee in charge. So here's some strategies for you to be able to allocate your time to make sure that gets done. And then once you've allocated that time and got your structure in place for that to happen, well, then you go list and market and sell as much as you want to. That's how people got into the industry in the first place. Principals don't just buy, well, not anymore, they can't just buy a business and say, I'm the boss and this is what I'm going to do. It's a progression. And most of them have started quite some time ago, worked their way up, become the boss, but now they've got to start acting like the boss.
Yep, very true, very true. And with that, like going across the different offices and seeing how they operate, you would have come across some incredible team members within those offices. What really stands out to you when you see a great performing team member? What's the difference between those who have really stepped up and love their role, love what they do, compared to those who are just turning up to just filling in a spot?
Yeah. Anybody who's coming to work in a real estate office and they're there from 9 till 4 or 9 till 5 or, woe is me, I work from 8 till, 9 at night, big deal. If somebody's there and that's their job and that's all they're there for, they're not going to last very long. They'll either get fed up themselves, or they will have somebody higher up the chain get fed up with them, and they'll move on pretty quickly. The good performers, the really good performers, it's like any team, James. Any team. Who was the weakest player in the Matildas? Who was the weakest player in the bloody Wallabies the other night? Who was the best player? It's not a question of who's the best and the worst player. It's a matter of what role does that team member play, and if they've got the skills to be able to perform that role, then that's the role that you want them to perform. There's some really good admin managers and office managers and general managers and that sort of stuff in particular roles in different offices that are doing fantastic work, and they've been delegated that work because that's their brain, that's their mindset for being able to perform that particular task. That's good leadership to be able to say, that's not my strength, that's their strength, let's put them into that role, and I'm still sitting on top looking at what's going on, but I've got good performers who are good in that role performing those tasks. That makes my job as boss, makes the role of the boss, the director of the, they're called a director and for a reason, they're the conductor of the orchestra, the captain of the team. First two games of the Matildas, Sam sitting on the bench, but she was still the captain and she had still played a very important role sitting on the bench because she wasn't able to perform a task on the field. So all of that sort of stuff that's very current. We'll see how this ages. it's that sort of thing that the boss has to be aware of, and that the team need to know that they're performing a valuable role. It might be the photocopier, person doing the photocopying. It might be the person who's making sure that all the marketing materials are done and printed and ready and available to go out to the listing presentation or to the open, whatever it happens to be. Their role is critical to the smooth running of the business.
Love it. So true. And that is because everyone has a role in the outcome of the business. and it's finding that role, and it's finding being the best version of you in that role, so you can shine, the role can shine, and then, you know, as you said, the links all come together to achieve the overall business success. Love it, love it. So what's on the horizon? What's coming up for you? What's some exciting projects that you're working on at the moment? And what does the next, you know, 6 to 12 months look like for TT Rowe & Co?
I don't really know, James. I've got a little farm out there.
I know, right? It's some fruit, some
that takes up a bit of time, not too much. We've got to make sure we've got time available. We did retire for a reason. And look, this is, I don't want to say this is a hobby because it's not. It's a part-time occupation, and the capacity to let it get out of hand and be and become a full-time occupation is evident. I don't want that to happen, but at the same time, I'm one of my big difficulties is being able to say no. Sorry, can't do that, or not available, don't have time to do that. So I'm sort of a little bit torn about, you know, how much do we push it, and how much do we try and control what gets done? But at the moment, I'm quite happy with the amount of work that I'm doing on this sort of stuff. It's probably, you know, maybe 2 days a week if I push it. But from my point of view, at the ripe old age that I turned last week, it's
25.
45, was it? 45.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That's it.
That's good. We'll take that. I had a hard life. Look, it's one of those things that let it roll, and let's see where the dice lands at the moment. But cool. I'm not too busy. But we've always got something to do around here as well.
And that's the thing, right? That's why you moved up north, and that's why, you know, looking at having that balance of, you know, a bit of work, because that mental stimulation and so much IP, you know, between those years, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Why I got no hair.
Yeah, there you go, right? There you go. But also to have some that lifestyle on the farm and, you know, attend to all the amazing stuff that you got going on there. So one of the things that we love to do is to find out a little bit more around who is Tony Rowe. We have our 60-second quick quiz, bunch of little questions to find out a little bit more. Who is Mr. Rowe? You ready?
Yep.
Let's go. Favorite movie?
I don't have one. I'm not a movie buff. I do like to go to the movies, but to say something's my favorite movie, it just because the next one I say, oh, that was the best movie I've ever seen.
All right, cool. Favorite food?
Probably Italian.
Nice. Favorite holiday destination?
Without a question of a doubt, without even thinking about it, and I'd go and live there tomorrow. No. If I was to go somewhere else to live, it would be to Portugal. I love the place.
Beautiful, beautiful. Morning routine?
At the moment, my morning routine is to get up and have the shower, and then have breakfast, something, you know, have my breakfast sitting on the deck, looking out over the valley at the back, and then work out from there, because I've usually worked out the night before what I've got to do, you know, on the day ahead, and then see where that takes us to get things, what needs to be done to get done.
Lovely, lovely. Evening routine.
Evening routine, I sort of just touched on that a little bit as well. I do like to have a little drink these days before dinner, and only one. And then part of the night session is to at least in my head, but lately I've taken to writing lists. to make sure that whatever I've got to do on the next day, or whether it can be done, or whether it needs to be pushed out, or whatever. But yeah, writing my list and prioritizing those tasks is the nighttime exercise, so that when I do go to bed and go to sleep, it's I'm not thinking about what needs to be done because I've already decided that.
Love it. Love it. So if you could choose five inspirational people to have dinner with, who would they be? They could be either dead or alive.
They're all dead.
Okay.
They're all Aussies.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows my little bit of biases as well. First up is Edmund Barton, Australia's first Prime Minister. Sir Isaac Isaacs, who was the first Chief Justice of the High Court of Australia. Dame Edith Lyons, first Australian female Member of Parliament, wife of Joe Lyons, was a Prime Minister. Billy Hughes, Australian Prime Minister during World War One, and Nancy Wake, who was codenamed the White Mouse during World War Two, leader of the, well, not a leader, but a member of the resistance in France against the Nazis. And she was, when I lived in Port Macquarie, she was there. I never quite got to meet her. I was going one day, but she wasn't well, and I never actually got to meet Nancy. But she was living in Port Macquarie and retired in the nursing home there, and died.
Wow, that's incredible! That's incredible.
So they're my five. They're great, my five
great dinner,
political,
great dinner
legal,
conversation. all right, good. Biggest regret.
I don't like regrets.
Okay, good.
They're a waste of time.
Great.
Waste of emotion, and they should be. It's probably the school teacher coming out of me. They're an opportunity. It shouldn't have I should have done this. I should have done that. I didn't do that. So get over it and move on and look at the opportunity that comes from that.
And I think that's as when I introduce you, the tell it how it is kind of coming out in you. If you were Prime Minister for the day, what's one thing that you would change?
I'd make sure Parliament was sitting, and I don't know how I would make sure, because I'm not sure that you can ever make sure of anything in politics, but I'd make sure that there was a law passed about truth in political advertising.
Nice.
And there was a heavy jail sentence for any politician who lied. Throw the key away and the bastards out.
Love it, love it, love it. And best piece of advice?
The thing probably that I, and it's, people will argue about the context of this, but just take the phrase from Shakespeare, of course, and it was from Polonius to Laertes in Hamlet, and the punchline was, to thine own self be true. And I think that's probably where I'd like to, if I sit.
Nice. Wonderful.
Love sometimes I care advice. What other people think, but sometimes
it's give or take, give or take, give or take.
Balances out.
Exactly. Now you've kindly offered a gift to all listeners tuning in to this episode, which is very, very kind of you. It's a 20% off the price of any services offered by TT Rowe & Co., valid for redemption until the 31st of the 12th, 2023, one use per customer. So if you want to head over to ttrowe.com.au/solutions, it has all the products and services there and the fees. There's no hidden extras. So if you want to contact Tony, head over to ttrowe.com.au/contact/ and get in contact with him, and you can redeem this lovely discount voucher there. Tony, really appreciate your time, energy, expertise, knowledge, and everything in between. Any final words, any final comments that you'd like to close on?
No.
Wonderful. Excellent.
Thanks, well, James, and good luck, everybody who's listening to this. If you need help, there's a phone call away. My details are on the website.
Wonderful. Thanks, Tony. And
thanks, James.
Thank you all for tuning in once again. Bye for now.